Valerie and I have reached that wonderful point in life where we have become increasingly aware of the many joys of aging. Some of you are laughing. I don't understand that. You don't think aging is a joy? We actually went to a conference a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, it's amazing how time flies when you're having fun there. At Cannon Beach, a retirees conference. And I realized that I am temporarily unqualified for a retirees conference, but we went anyway. Stuart Briscoe was speaking. Stuart is 87 years old now, and he and his wife, Jill, are still going strong. And when asked why he is still traveling around the world speaking, his answer is, because people are still inviting him. You know, it's not quite sure what retirement looks like for Stuart Briscoe. Reminded of the story of the old guy, retired fella who, like my brother, likes to play golf. Avid golfer. But he came in from the golf course one day, kind of threw his clubs down and said to his wife, I'm done. I'm not going to do this anymore. It's become too frustrating. Says, what's the matter? Says, well, I go out there and I hit the ball and I can't see where it went. And it's just too frustrating. And she says, well, you know, maybe there's a way you can still do this. You know, your friend Jack, I know he's 10 years older than you are, but he just had cataract surgery, and he's got 20/20 vision. Why don't you take him along with you? And you can hit the ball, and he'll watch it for you. And the guy thought about it. Yeah, maybe that'll work. So he said, I'll give it a try. So he went out to the golf course and took his friend Jack with him. And they got there to the first tee, and he teed off, and it was a beautiful shot, just took off. But as usual, once that ball was in the air, he lost sight of it. Had no idea where it landed. And he turned to his friend, he says, Jack, did you see the ball? And Jack said, oh, yes, I did. That was one fine shot, let me tell you. It was a great shot. Well, great, but did you see where it landed? Well, yeah, I did. Well, Jack, where did it land? And Jack said, I forgot. That's kind of what the aging adventure is all about. For better or worse, it's an adventure that is unidirectional. It only goes in one direction, and it affects all of us. It doesn't matter whether you're 8 or 80, you are aging. You are getting older. You don't get younger. At least that's what my wife tells me. I tried to insist that this last birthday was my 37th, and she explained to me, no, Malcolm, you are not dyslexic. It was not an encouraging moment, I can tell you that. But for a while, we have been traveling with Moses, who, like us, is aging. And we're getting towards the end of his lifetime journey. For Moses, it lasted 120 years. And that journey is beginning to come to an end. And Moses has something to say about it in a psalm which is a prayer to God, perhaps the oldest of the psalms that we have recorded in the book of Psalms in the Old Testament, Psalm 90. That's where we're going to be this morning. It's a psalm that was written by Moses. And to the question that eventually runs through everybody's mind, I guess, are we simply sort of with Moses on this march to the grave that eventually catches up with everyone? Is there really any meaning to life at all? Moses screams, yes, there is meaning. Psalm 90. It's a prayer of Moses. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust and say, return, O children of man, for 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger, by your wrath we're dismayed. You've set our iniquities before you and our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord. How long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Father, as we look at your word together, I pray that your spirit would speak to our hearts and that we would hear exactly what you want us to hear. And Lord, I'd pray that I wouldn't get in the way of you doing what you want this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We want to look at some realities, a request that Moses has, and some of the results of that this morning in this psalm. The psalm, obviously written towards the end of Moses' life. You can kind of feel that as you read it. Reality number one, I've already said it, we're all aging. It is unavoidable. If that comes as bad news to you, I'm sorry. But you don't get to the good news unless you deal with the bad news first. All of us are aging. We can't get around it. It's an unavoidable process. And try as we might to avoid it, those efforts, they don't always work the way they're supposed to. Now, maybe some of you ladies like to do what my wife does and use a little of this face cream. I call it oil of delay. Because that's what it's supposed to do. And you know, if it doesn't quite work the way you hope it does, oh, I'm getting older. It was one of those weeks for me, I confess. My cardiologist caught up to me this week. Actually, she caught up with me 2 or 3 weeks ago when I called in for a prescription refill, and I got a call from the doctor's office that said, hey, Malcolm, been about a year and a half. We'd like to see you. Well, it's nice to be wanted, but I kind of hope we could avoid that. So I went in to see her on Monday. And she wasn't in the room very long before she said, knowing that I had delayed seeing her, so when was the last time you saw your primary care doctor for a physical? And how old is your blood work? Says, you need to go see him. So I thought, okay, I'll call him. Figuring I had another couple of weeks to wait. He had an appointment in 3 days. So I got the lecture twice this week. Yeah. But it's okay. There are some aspects of aging maybe I'd like to delay as well. But it's not possible. Now, there is the potential in that reality for some hopelessness. If we realize that, hey, you know, we're on this march with Moses that eventually is going to lead to the grave. Why bother? Well, don't go there. Moses has an answer for you. And Moses, I'm pretty sure when he wrote this, was older than you. Reality number two to this reality that all of us are aging, Moses reminds us of something absolutely wonderful. And we hit on this a couple of weeks ago when we were in Deuteronomy 33. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations, he says, verse 1 of this psalm. You remember Deuteronomy 33. The eternal God is your dwelling place. And underneath, the everlasting arms. God is our dwelling place in all generations. I am so glad that Moses said that. God is not just my dwelling place when I'm young. Otherwise, I'd be in trouble. And God is not just my dwelling place when I'm old. Or some of you would be in trouble. God is my dwelling place in all generations. Because God, it turns out, is not affected by reality number one. We're all aging. God isn't. God is the same today as he was yesterday. And he was the same yesterday as he was in Moses' day. And he was the same in Moses' day as he was when he created the world. God, our dwelling place in all generations. If you're dealing with the realities of time marching on, remind yourself of that because it's true. See, Moses says it here in Psalm 90. He said it to the people in Deuteronomy 33. If you jump ahead to Psalm 91, verse 9, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent. It's good news that God is our dwelling place. Now, that doesn't mean that the clock gets turned off. It just means as the clock runs, we get to walk with God and He with us. The realities of the first half of the psalm about aging are still real. Reality number three, flowing out of reality number two, God is God for all eternity. God is God for all eternity. You got it? And some of you are sitting there thinking, well, dummy, that's obvious. Well, yeah, it sort of is obvious. But it's actually something that we practically often lose sight of. God actually is God for all of eternity. He is changeless. He is exempt from time. And that means that it actually doesn't matter what stage of life I am in, whether I am as old as Malcolm or as young as Bob. Maybe we need a greater contrast than that. What do you think? Or as young as Honora. God is still God. He's still God. And when that time comes, and you have the privilege of attending my funeral, should you still be around, God will still be God. And God will still be God for Malcolm. Now there's a fourth reality, and this is where the sticking point comes for many of us. I am not God. Okay, God is God for all eternity, but I am not God. That's where most of us have trouble. You know, God set up this wonderful world where He gets to be God and we don't. And we try and rearrange this world so that we are God and He isn't. And it works a whole lot less well that way. Please, believe me, I know from experience, it doesn't work well that way. I'm not God. I'm a fallen human being. We're all aging. God is our dwelling place. God is God for all eternity, and I'm not God. In light of that, Moses says, God, I've got a request. And he puts forth this request for God, and it's really the hinge point of the psalm in verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. If you're prone to forget pretty much everything else I say this morning, would you please remember this? I would really like you to adopt that as your prayer. That verse from Psalm 90. Lord, so teach me to number my days that I may get a heart of wisdom And Lord, teach us together to number our days so that we together may get a heart of wisdom. And this numbering our days business. My standard answer to birthday discussions has been, it's only a number. And that has been my standard answer now for a number of years. If you don't like it, I'm sorry, but it comforts me. It's only a number. See, I figure that if we only celebrated every other year, I'd be in my 30s. It could work. If my birthday had been February 29th, it's just a number. Lord, teach us to number our days. What does that mean? Number our days. Let's talk about making our days, all of them, count. Making our days count. Now, that doesn't mean becoming a workaholic, okay? That doesn't mean packing your days so full that you can't cram anything else in there. It means making them count every day. And maybe the way you're going to make this day count or another day count is to rest. It's biblical. It is biblical. Make every day count. If God is my dwelling place in all generations, so it doesn't matter how old I am or how young I am, then with Him I can make today count. What is it that God wants to do with this day in my life? What is it that's on His agenda? Once I figure that out, simply joining Him in that effort becomes a joy. That might become a challenge as well, but it will become a joy. It'll become a challenge because God regularly will give you stuff that you by yourself can't handle. But you with Him can. And Moses wisely says, Lord, teach us to number our days. Lord, I'm pushing 120, and I still need to learn this. Teach us. Help me learn to make every day count. Every day. Now, some of you are in the, dare I call it, the senior phase of life, like me. We're getting up there a little bit. I've lived my 70. And God graciously has given me a little more. If you're starting to think that you're done, I have two words for you. Stop it. Got it? If you're still here, you're not done, and God's not done with you. He isn't. Every day can count. Every day. Even if it's a day when you're lying helpless in a hospital bed, half conscious, God can be at work in and around and through you. Let Him. And if you're 6 years old and you figure this doesn't apply to you yet, get over it. It does. It does. Teach us to number our days for a purpose, that we may gain a heart. Of wisdom. A heart. That's the word we use in our language for the center of our being. And that's appropriate. That's what Moses has in mind. Kind of the center of the inner man. He's not talking here about just our mind. He's not talking here about just our emotional self. He's not talking here about just our ability to decide. He's talking about all of that together. All of it. He's talking about a heart that deals with our ability to discern and to desire and to decide. He said, Lord, we need to get a heart of wisdom. Not knowledge, wisdom. There's a difference. Well, how do you get wisdom? Scripture tells us where to start, does it not? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's what the Bible says. It starts with the fear of the Lord. It starts with my relationship with God. Lord, teach me to learn to make every day count and help me. Help me to recognize who you are. Because that's the ultimate problem we had back in reality number four. Remember? I am not God. God is God. I'm not. Need to keep that straight. It's a great prayer. I need to come to grips with who God is, and I need to respond to Him appropriately. And when I do, there are some blessed results. Look quickly at the rest of this psalm. Verse 13, return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Result number one, as God begins to answer this prayer in our lives, God's presence in my life. Return is the prayer. Return. Lord, come. Come back. We've gotten away from you a little bit. Come back. And is that not God's desire? Over and over and over again in Scripture, God tells us He desires to be with us. His name shall be Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus' last words recorded in the book of Matthew before He went back to heaven to His disciples, I am with you always. God's presence in my life. That's His intent. Needs to be mine as well. The second result, the second blessing that comes out of the answer to this prayer, God's satisfying, steadfast, joy-producing love in my life. Verse 14, satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you afflicted us and for as many years as we have seen evil. God's satisfying and steadfast and joy-producing love in my life. That we may rejoice, verse 14 says, and be glad all our days. Now that's the same word as in verse 12, what you're supposed to be numbering. Your days. Days marked by joy. Days marked by an awareness of God's love. So steadfast that it is satisfying. Even for those of you that are in my stage of life, in the midst of the aches and pains of aging, God's satisfying, steadfast, joy-producing love evident in your life. Third, God's Spirit-empowered work established in my life. Well, I told you earlier, lest you forget, you are not done. And God's not done with you. You are not yet retired, even if you're retired. God's work in your life, empowered by His Spirit, let your work be shown to your servants and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands. This guy's over 100 years old when he's praying this. Establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Because we're not done. It's a good thing for us to ask God to direct the work of our hands and then to establish the work of our hands in the power of His Spirit. And He will delight to do that. Because it turns out it's true. God's not done with any of us. If it were, it would be evident and somebody else would be carrying us out of here. He's not done. So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Earlier in this service, we prayed together, honoring the World Day of Prayer. I want to invite us to pray together once again. To pray together Moses' prayer. What I trust will be the prayer of us together as a body of believers. And what I hope will be your personal prayer as well. This prayer of Moses in Psalm 90, verse 12. So as we wind it up, I'm going to invite you, if you would like to simply stand and out loud pray this verse with me. Lord, so teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Amen. May God do that in all of our lives individually. and in our life together.